We have an extended song service tonight. Go ahead and mark your hymn books at number 300. That will be the song of invitation following the lesson. Number 300. Then open your hymn books at number 394. Love one another. 394.
Thank you. cannot go. Anywhere with Jesus I can safely go.
The 138, Prince of Peace, control my will. The 138.
From the blood of the morning
Sig number 626. It is well with my soul. 626.
When peace like the
Thank you. Sing number 544. Number 544. All four verses. There's a call comes ringing o'er the restless waves in the light, in the light. There are souls to rescue, there are souls to save, in the light, in the light, in the light. The blessed gospel light, let it shine from shore to shore.
Scripture reading this evening will be Mark chapter 16, verses 15 through 20. Mark 16, beginning in verse 15. And he said unto them, Go ye into all the world, and preach the gospel to the whole creation. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that disbelieveth shall be condemned. And these signs shall accompany them that believe. In my name they shall cast out demons, they shall speak with new tongues, they shall take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall in no wise hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. So then the Lord Jesus, after he had spoken unto them, was received up into heaven, and sat down at the right hand of God. And they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them, and confirming the word by the signs that followed. Amen.
When Mickey and I were discussing who was going to be the volunteer for the end of the of this month, we got to talking about a few of the things that were going on with the church here regarding the things that the church is doing. And he said, why don't you talk about that? So we're going to talk about some of the things perhaps that the church here is doing, and perhaps things that you and I can do to go into all the world and preach the gospel to the whole creation. And so this is going to end up being more, I think, a report than a sermon. But there are things that this congregation is doing, and things that others in this congregation are doing that are important for us to look at and see how we can, in ourselves, be admonished by this particular passage here in Mark the 16th chapter. And you'll note, of course, that it says that the apostles were admonished to go. As we see here, it says, He said unto them, Go ye into all the world, and preach the gospel to the whole creation. Then a few verses down it says, And they went. They went forth and preached everywhere. And so we have here then a commandment from Jesus to the apostles at this particular juncture to go into all the world and preach the gospel. Then later on, we see, for example, that as Paul is writing to Timothy, the younger preacher, Timothy was admonished to preach. I have to reposition my computer so I can actually see it. Timothy was admonished to preach. And so in 2 Timothy, the 4th chapter and verse 2, it says to preach the word, be urgent in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering and teaching. So we have here an admonition, at least to Timothy in this instance, and then we can show through other verses in the New Testament that we're to go and preach, or preaching is something that needs to be done. So we see back here that going was something that needed to be done, and here preaching was something that needed to be done, that needs to be done. And so when we compare this then to our authority classes that we've been studying on Wednesday night, and that several of us have studied a number of times before, we see that when we look in these definitions, we have definitions of specific authority and generic authority. When we look at these two, it's important for us to understand what they are. Specific authority, and this is directly from Mickey's outline, that's why I put it in quotes, it excludes human choice because any method or means of carrying out the command other than what is specified becomes an addition. Now, the case that we normally use is Noah and the ark. He wasn't specified to build an ark out of any old wood. It was specified for him to build the ark out of gopher wood. That means that if he used maple, he was in violation of the command. It was specified that he would use gopher wood, whatever that is. And so he used that to build the ark. And so that authority then was specific for Moses. Then, of course, we have generic or general authority. General authority includes authority for choices or aids, expediencies, which are for the sole purpose of executing the command. And so we see that there are things that we can do to carry out a command without changing it into something else. And so it becomes an expediency to use. And so you see, for example, that the song leaders, many of them tonight, have used pitch pipes to get the pitch of the melody. But we didn't go about and take our pitch pipes like a harmonica and go about and play the song. As difficult as that would be, it's been tried. And the thing is that it's an aid, much like the songbook. It doesn't change the music into a different kind or additional type of music, but rather simply assists us in carrying out the music that we're commanded to do. So you see that the song leaders aren't up here playing the pitch pipe throughout the song. We're not doing instrumental music here. And we're memorizing songs. I mean, perhaps in the New Testament, the back when we're reading about here in the book of Acts, maybe they only knew a few songs, and that's fine. There's nothing wrong with that. Maybe they knew all of the Psalms, 150 of them. Maybe they were all set to music, for all I know. Maybe they knew them all. But what about the Gentiles? I mean, they wouldn't have known any of that. So somebody had to teach people songs. And essentially, that's what we're doing. We got 600-something songs in this book. There are songs that the kids have that have 1,000 songs in them. We've got a little book that we used in Egypt that had about 25 songs in it. So it's just a help. It doesn't change the music from one type of music to another type of music. And so it's an aid. And so we're told to sing, and that's very specific. And we're told to make melody in our hearts, and that's very specific. But the fact of the matter is that when we use pitch pipes and we use books, we're not adding something to the music. We're simply aiding or expediting the singing of songs. Then, so when we look at things, we remember that if we go back here to the slide that talked about going, that as Christians, we're to go into all the world and preach the gospel. And then Timothy was admonished to preach the gospel. So what is this church doing, or this church is, as a matter of fact, doing several things that help to carry out the admonition to go and preach. Now that, of course, doesn't relieve you of your responsibility here. But as a corporate body, you might say, this church is doing a number of things. The thing that I guess intrigued Mickey's curiosity the most and got him to suggest that I do this was our website. Now, I'm hoping that nobody in this audience of about 60 or 70 people will tell me that they don't know that we have a website. We've been advertising it for a couple or three years, or maybe even more now. And the website was just updated on May 30th, as I recall, of this year. Or it was March 30th, actually, of this year. Really doesn't make any difference. But you'll remember that our address used to be rather complex because it was the address off of an internet service provider that serviced my needs. And so I was able to go out there and get a limited website available. Very few of us could just rip that thing right off and tell you how to get there. And even if we could, you probably couldn't remember it enough to write it down. So now it's been changed to www.5thstreeteast.com. Now everybody can remember that. I know I can. If I can remember it, anybody can. And so we have a website. If you haven't looked at the front page, this is what it looks like. It's got a picture of the building and says that you can go to different places on that website. So you can check out our meeting times, and you can, I have screenshots of these things. So check out our meeting times. You can find directions of how to get here. You can find an organization that's got four wonderful pictures on it. You can find out about our gospel meetings. There are sermon outlines I've just added on there, and sermons that you can download in audio format. In other words, you can listen to the sermon that Mickey preached this morning or I'm preaching this evening if you dare. And then we have bulletin articles, a bit of an archive of bulletin articles. So you see that we just talk about here just a few things, that why we gather together, and then I have listed, we have listed here the times that we meet. That gets hit frequently. People look at that to see when we meet. We then have directions of how do you get here from the freeway. Here's how you get here from the freeway. Say, go up to Avenue I and come over here and come down. You're done. We're very simple congregations to get to. even though we're in the interior of town, I've gone to a number of congregations where you just had to drive for hours in circles in order to find them. The one in Apple Valley strikes me as being, you can see them from a mile away, but try and figure out how to get to the building without going through the desert. So, but anyway, so with directions here, probably the number of stoplights have changed because they keep putting many, many, many more stoplights along here, but still, they're there. This is just a screenshot of the top of the gospel. This scrolls down. I don't have that ability to do that, nor that I have the inclination to do so. But so it talks about the fact that we hold gospel meetings, that these are recorded on CDs and cassette tapes. Our next one here, as you can see, is with Earl Robertson that we've been announcing for the last number of months. And then down here, previous gospel meetings, you see that you can see the start of the screen that talks about the lesson with Lowell Blassingame. And it goes down for a number of meetings and tells what the titles of each of the lessons was in those gospel meetings back for a number of years. That allows people to look at our website then and say, hey, that gospel meeting sounds interesting. Send me the tapes or the CDs, and we can do that. we have sermon outlines. And so, for example, you'll remember the mistakes series that Mickey's been preaching of Peter, of Naaman, and so on. A costly mistake, Moses, right? So you see that these are available for you to download as the PowerPoint presentation like we're presenting right here so that you can use it and abuse it as you will. Or it's an Adobe Acrobat Reader document, so that this just set in stone. It's much like downloading this is exactly what you would get. I wanted to mention, forgive me for the quality of this outline. I didn't realize until I started printing it out that color pictures do not print very well on a laser printer unless you tell it to do it in black and white. So I told it to use grayscale and it grayed everything out. So anyway, the sermon outlines are there. So you can look at them, you can download them. I tell you how big they are so that you know if you've got a dial-up connection, which hopefully nobody's got, you know how many days it's going to take you to download the thing. Sermons. We just started this. I put down here that we just started it as of July 13th, so check back. And so we've got a number of things down here. But here, for example, you can upload this 17.3 megabyte file of a Windows Media Player format, and you can listen to the sermon, The Mistakes of Peter, that Mickey preached last week on the 20th in the PM lesson. And then you see here's part two of the promise that Mickey preached in the AM on last week, and it's about the same length. You can download those. If you scroll down that page, you'll see a number of others that I have there that we put down. I've recently just changed the format of how we tape things so that it's all in one track. Before, I had it split up into about between 17 and 20 different tracks. I came to the conclusion that was not a good idea. But there's instructions on here about how to get that. And so even if you don't know a whole lot about the computer, you can go out here to this website. There's enough instructions on here for you to figure out how to listen to that sermon. And then we have, of course, the weekly bulletin article archive that goes all the way back to 2001. I believe I have articles from 2000 that I simply haven't put on there yet. So there's hundreds of articles on here. I mentioned that this is because of the bulletin we put out called iPress, and I tell people that they can download these however they want. Just watch your copyright. That's because that's what we ask you to do. So if I push the button, for example, on 2008 right here, it'll go to the list of things that we've done in 2008 as far as bulletins go. So, for example, the July 27th bulletin, today's bulletin, the parable of the barren fig tree is listed here. You can click on that button right there, and it'll bring, well, so you can click on this button here for July 20th, the wise and the foolish virgins, and it'll bring up the article about the wise and the foolish virgins. And so the whole article is on there that you read in the bulletin last week, and there it is. So we see that all of those things are available to us, and you can look at those. And a lot of other people can look at those and have done so. Now, this is just a sort of a complex little thing. I don't know if in the back whether you can read any of the details that are on here. But what this is showing is that from May 30th, 2008, when I set up this website, until yesterday, these are the hits that we've had on our website. Now, this number, I believe, is a 9 up here. So It's the number of hits per day on the website. Now, that might not seem like a lot. And you say, well, at the most, 9 people hit our site a couple of days in a row and things. And you might also note that these peaks appear, you know, like once a week. That may be me updating the website. So I have to hit the website to do that. So, but notice that there's been 153 visits. That out of those 153 visits, 941 pages have been viewed. In other words, of those pages that we went through, people looked at 941 of them. And so, obviously, many pages over and over again from different people. On average, people looked at 6.15 pages per visit. So they went out there and they spent some time looking at our website. The average is 3 minutes and 24 seconds time on the site, but that, of course, takes into account the fact that almost a quarter of the people who went out to our website went out and immediately left. They said, oh, I don't want to look at that. They went somewhere else. That's a bounce rate. But 67.32% of these people were new visits. Now, new visits are defined as to how long you stay on the website. So if you're only there for a couple of seconds and then you go off and then you come back, you're not counted a returning visitor. So it's not a really valuable statistic, but still, it's there. And so this shows how things are going. the visitors are I can get an overview of visitors here, but I'm going to show you a blow-up of this map overlay of the world. You see that the United States is very green right here. That means that we've received the most hits here. You see that Canada is a lighter green, but it's not white like Russia, for example. Russia, for example, doesn't have any hits. But Canada has a few, and then there's a bunch down here in the islands, and then we'll look over here, we'll see one in Iraq, and over here in the Philippines, and over here in India. We can see here whether sites referred us, or whether we went directly there, or whether we used search engines to find the site. Now note that most of it is referrals. It's a lot of people going to our old website, wherein I have buttons that say, you'll have to go over to our new website. And you click on that and come over to this website. So that shows that the other website referred them. So as we go through here then, you'll see this once again. This is just a blow up of the visits that we've had. 9 here, for example. 9 visits is the highest we've had in any one day. But people are reading a lot when they get to those websites. Now, as we look at the visitors, for example, I can look at them and see on what day we had however many visitors. Notice that there were 155 visits, but 104 of those were unique visitors. So that meant that 51 of those were return visitors, or that the website decided were return visitors. They looked, as we mentioned before, to 946 different pages and spent all these times on site. I can look at whether they used cable modem, or whether they used DSL, or whether they used T1, or whether they used dial-up. 3 people used dial-up. That must be Mickey and Randy, huh? All right, and I can even find out what browser they use, Internet Explorer, or Firefox, or Safari, or Mozilla, or Netscape, you know. Only one person used Netscape. Well, we're going to have to leave that then. So this is just a blow-up of the statistics a little bit more, talking about the 104 unique people that visited this site, and their 155 visits then, you know, things that about that. Now here's a blow-up of the map. Once again, the United States and Canada, Chile. If you could see it, there's a few islands down here that have hits. You'll see that Iraq is fairly dark, a little bit darker than Canada, actually. India is, and the Philippines have a number of hits. And so we can go in and look at that. We can see, for example, that the United States had 132 hits, that Iraq had 7. I've talked to Joe about that. He said, that's me. So if you want to talk to Joe, there he is right there. It says that he averaged 5.14 pages per visit, but only spent 2 minutes and 18 seconds on the site. So, but given that there's a bounce out, I think that perhaps somebody else may have gone to look at it and said, oh, I don't want to look at that. There are some people who we can't identify the countries on for some reason, but notice that those people who we can't identify their country they average 12 pages per visit. Spent 8 minutes on the website. So, and the Philippines had 4, Canada had 2, Cayman Islands, Trinidad and Tobago, Chile and India. Cayman Islands bounced out right away. We had one visit there and they didn't want to look at our site, so they went somewhere else. But so this just provides us with what people are doing with our website. And so then we can show on here by the size of the dot, and that's Lancaster, where the people are in relationship to others. So there's Iraq, there's India, there's the Philippine Islands, there's Chile, Trinidad and Tobago, someplace south of Cuba, and then the United States, and then Canada in 2 places here. And so I can zoom in on these. And so, for example, the city of Talaca, Chile, there was one visit from there. But this guy, whoever it was, looked at 12 pages while he was there. He only spent 2 minutes and 15 seconds doing that, though. So he zipped through a lot of pages real quickly. So, and then Iraq. They're all from the city of Baghdad. Pages per visit, we've already talked about that. So they're all the hits for Iraq are there in Baghdad. And that's Joe looking at us. I can go out there and I can say, I can look at Baghdad, for example, which is the one that was just there. And I can say, okay, he hit us on this date. He hit us 2 times on this date and a couple of times here. And so I can see when he was looking, when anybody was looking on the website, at least by city. Then I can zoom in, for example, on the United States, see the California is very dark here, indicating that it's our highest hit. Texas comes in pretty good. Kentucky comes in because that's where I set up the website while I was there, so it's got a lot of hits to begin with. So, and we can see out of the 50 states that we've got, 28 of them actually, because there's some that are not set, 28 states are represented in people that have hit our website. And so when you look at that, well, we'll go this way, you can see where these are all located. So all of these different cities went and looked at our website, and so there are statistics for them. And so, for example, I've sorted this on the average time on site, for example. So somebody in Mississippi, on one visit, looked at 29 pages and spent almost 13 minutes there. And I can't imagine who that might be, but we can actually go in there and find out when that person visited our website. Kentucky, New York, and so on. You see the number of pages, the average time on site is what I so 9 minutes and 30 seconds, 8 minutes and 41 seconds, 7 minutes. So people are spending time on our website looking around. I remember once when the website was older and I was looking at other statistics that Chris was researching something once, and all of a sudden I saw this big balloon of hits from like Virginia, wherever their server is. I mean, he's looking at me from down in Los Angeles, but their server is way off in somewhere else. And so all of a sudden there's, 4,000 hits from Virginia, all on one day, all on Chris's lunch hour. So you see that people are spending time on our website. Or if I do by pages per visit, once again, Mississippi shows up as the highest number of pages per visit and the highest average time on site. But other people have looked at a lot of pages. One person in Iowa, 23 times. 3 people in the state of Washington for 14.67 pages per visit average. I don't know whether that was y'all up there while you were up visiting or what. But it was fairly recent. And so we can look at those things and see that people are visiting us and they're spending time on our website. If we zoom in to one state, just the state of California, for example, we can see where all the people are here. And so we can look at Lancaster, of course, has the biggest number of hits, and that's mostly me updating the website. But then this Kelseyville, which I didn't put the map in there. Kelseyville is up Lakeport, Clear Lake. So that's up somewhere in sort of Northern California. He's visited 8 times, and if I look at his statistics, it'll show me that he visits rather regularly and does so on a sort of a weekly basis. He looked at the website once on the 13th of June and then two times on the 4th of July, and then once on the 12th of July, once on the 18th of July, and three times on the 26th of July. So somebody's going in there, and he's regularly looking at our website, probably for the purpose of looking at bulletin articles and perhaps putting them in their bulletin or getting ideas for sermons or any number of things like that. Now, that's our website, and it's an interesting thing to have around. We can use that to speak to people in other parts of the world, and we use that, and it's important for us to make sure that we know that we have that so that we can use that as a resource. Then another resource, of course, this congregation uses is sermon and class audio tapes and CDs. Hopefully you're all familiar with the fact that I don't get up to go get a drink of water every time a sermon starts. We're starting taping the sermon or the class or whatever like that. And we record those on audio tapes and on CDs. as a matter of fact, some of the people, one of the families that has been getting these CDs for a number of years was so thankful about that that they sent us a $1,000 check. And we just bought a duplicator that allows us to duplicate 11 CDs at once as opposed to the one I'd been able to do before. So, for example, when we were putting out the 25 copies of the gospel meeting for Lowell Blasting Game, so that's 25 times 8 is, you know, over 20. CDs that had to be copied and labeled and things like that, it took me forever. But, boy, it's really neat when I can put in 11 at a time and they just come popping out. And the nice thing about it is that it does what's called light scribe labeling. And so these are professionally done labels that are right on the disc itself. These are not labels that get stuck on the disc. And so if you haven't seen any of our discs, of which we have a huge box, two boxes of them in the back here, then you need to take a look at them. These discs work in any CD player that you've got. Just put it in your car and turn it on, and you're going down to Oxnard or somewhere like that. Listen to three or four lessons. You know, that's going to take you that long. So so these are available. So, and we tape the Sunday morning class. We tape the Sunday morning lesson. We tape the Sunday evening lesson. We tape the Wednesday auditorium class. We do all the gospel meetings. There's, Carolyn can tell you, we've got two big boxes back there in the back full of CDs. I have a library that I maintain back there that has two copies of each sermon that's been preached and one copy of each Sunday morning lesson. I haven't started yet putting the Wednesday evening lesson in yet, but that'll come along. The thing is that there's a couple of years worth of CDs back there. Jonathan's taken advantage of that, has stolen many a CD. And the reason that I put two copies back there is so that if you want to check one out, because a lot of people will fill out one of these requests for CD or requests for audio tape, and the only reason that they want it is so they can listen to something they missed, or they just want to listen to it again. And then once they're done with it, it's like, okay, now what do I do with this? So now it becomes target practice or something like that. So check it out from the library. Just take one of the copies. When you're done with it, put it back. And if you want to keep it, let me know, and then I can make another one so that we don't run out. so these are all available. And we have a subscription list of 10 people throughout the country that we mail these to. And so one of the families was quite appreciative, even though we told them, no, we don't need anything. We do this because we're trying to preach the gospel here. We have, of course, the bulletin that you all read. And I know that you read the article on the front before you even flip it over to look at the stuff that's on the back. So, but we have a bulletin. This bulletin is mailed out on a fairly extensive mailing list. It's mailed out to all of you that aren't here on a given date. So if when Linda or Melissa or both of them, they get their heads together, and that's why you'll see them occasionally looking around to see if anybody's here, is that they're trying to find out whether you're on their list or not as being here. And so if you're not here, eventually you'll see a bulletin end up in your mailbox. because with probably many times with a note on it. Betty Jo does that too. And so they each have tasks that they do that are somewhat more specific. But these go out to a number of people. And they go out on a frequent basis. So then you might say, well, that's, you know, the church is doing everything that can be done, therefore I don't need to do anything. No, that's not the case. Because the admonition was for you to go preach the gospel, for you to preach the gospel. It's something that each one of us as an individual needs to do. The church is not taking your responsibility by setting up a website or sending out CDs or audio tapes or publishing a bulletin. You need to be preaching the gospel. So what can I do? First of all, you need to make these things known. Since we're talking about high-tech stuff here, when you send out an email, when you sign that email, you put your name down there and put www.5thstreeteast.com. I do that on every email that I send out. Even if it's somebody saying, sir, your order for your medicine has been delayed. I say, thank you very much, Richard Lid, www.5thstreeteast.com. It just reminds me of a story that I heard about, and I don't know whether this is true or not, and when it happened, but way back in the day, somebody was going from one town to another, apparently holding gospel meetings, and he was riding on the train, and so you know this had to be a long time ago, and he had a bunch of, I don't know, Truth magazines or whatever is one of the older magazines in a bundle. And so he had to stop and just wait for the train. The train was coming to a station. It stayed there. I had to wait for 15, 20 minutes or something like that. He took a bundle of these Truth magazines, or whichever they were, and just plopped them down on one of the benches there at the train station. There wasn't a congregation in that town. He was just going on by. The next time he happened to come on by, 5, 10 years later, I don't know what it was, there was a faithful congregation in that town. As a matter of fact, I believe they asked him to come preach a gospel meeting. And so they told him, he asked them, how did this congregation get started? And said, well, Fred over here, he was down at the train station one day, he found a pile of these newspapers down here, and he started reading them. And they had the gospel in them. And he thought that was pretty interesting. And they ended up forming a congregation because one person left a bundle of magazines on a bench at a railroad station, and faithful Christians came about because of that. There's things that you can do. And so if you tell somebody www.5thstreeteast.com every time that you have the opportunity to do so, one of these days somebody's going to go out there. I was showing up late to work the other day, and so I just took my home computer and I sent a couple of people at work just an email saying, I'm going to be late today, and such, and I had Richard, www.5thstreeteast.com. One of the guys told me that, hey, there was a link down at the bottom of your email. I said, yeah, I know there was. And so he had clicked on it and looked at it. Whether it did anything for him or not, it didn't appear, but it was there and he looked at it. One of the things that I've done, most of us have computers, is that I've made up business cards. And they say, Church of Christ, 44860 5th Street East, between Lancaster Boulevard and Avenue I. Lancaster, California gives our phone number and gives our handy-dandy website address and says when we meet. And as a matter of fact, I got this idea from someone we met when we were over visiting in Athens. There's an Air Force officer over there, a member of the congregation over there, a member of a liberal congregation, I might add, over there. And he had down there his name, and underneath it, it said, Christian Husband Father Air Force Officer. I thought, that's a good idea. So I made up cards that just say Richard Lid Christian on them. And on the other side, I have this thing that shows us where we are. But it's got my information, my name, my address, my phone number, my personal email address, and so on. You can make those up that doesn't have all that personal information on it if you wanted to give it to somebody who stopped you at Taco Bell and asked you for money. And say, gold and silver have I none, but this business card I'll give to you. And maybe that will do something. But make some of these up, or come see Richard and ask him to make up some for you. I'll be glad to do it. I've got a whole box of business cards, and we'll just make some up for you. And when somebody asks you or you have the opportunity, hand them a card. that leads them here, leads them to the website, leads them any number of places. What else can you do? Well, you can help send out the bulletin. Right now, it's Betty Jo and Melissa and Linda are the ones that basically send out the bulletin. They could use some help. Every once in a while, they'd like to go on vacation. Things like that, you know, sort of thing. It's like having your own business, you know. I can't leave because somebody else has got to take up the slack. So talk to them about doing that, because there's a lot of bulletins that go out. And they could always use help with that. And, of course, there's always doing things like reproducing the bulletin. If after they count up their list at the end of the day, they find that, well, we had 10 people here tonight and 75 people were missing, so we're going to need about 75 more bulletins here. So they need to go copy them. So we're down here late some nights, you know, just copying bulletins. You can help duplicate and send out the audio tapes. I'm sure that Julie, mostly, and John might appreciate that. We've asked in the past for people to help duplicate and send out the audio tapes. It gets to be quite a job. If you look at the stack of envelopes that are ready to go out every couple of months or whenever they get sent out, you have a hard time not tripping over it in the hallway when it's there outside the office door and Mickey's going to bring it to the post office the next day. And Mickey's developed a personal relationship with one of the post office people down there at the Lancaster Boulevard post office, because they'll go, oh, there he is again with his box of audio tapes all up in these bags. He's got about 12 million of them in there. Julie could use some help with that. She'd like to take a vacation every once in a while, I'm sure, and not have people say, where's my tapes? So, and you can help me send out CDs if you want, because even after I've got all this nifty equipment that allows me to duplicate and make labels on the back and all that sort of stuff, I've still got on my desk stacks of CDs that need to be put in little boxes and taped up and address labels put on and them taken to the post office also. So there's things that can be done that just have to do with the things that we've been talking about tonight, things that you can do that help out. And so you'll remember as we go back to slide number one that we've all been admonished to go. We've been admonished to preach. And so there are things that we can do, things that we ought to do, and we can always do more than we're doing. And so just in these few things that we've looked at tonight, there are other things that you can help with. Help send out the bulletin. Help duplicate and send out the audio tapes. Help send out CDs. And then there are practical things that you can do. Carry a card around with you. Make sure that you put our website address at every opportunity that you have. All of these things help to preach and teach the gospel. And so those are the things that's sort of the report I have for you tonight regarding what this church is doing and really what you can do to help. All of these things help to bring about the gospel. All of these things help to show other people that their souls are in such a situation that something needs to be done about said soul. And so we can ask, well, what can I do? So that other people will ask, what must I do to be saved? Because that really, after all, is the important thing that we're looking at here. What must I do to be saved? This is asked a couple of times early on in the book of Acts. What must I do to be saved? And so the apostles, as they spoke to these people, they said that, well, you have to hear the word of God, as we can see in Romans, the 10th chapter and verse 8. You have to believe in that word that you've heard that comes from God's book. And that you can find in Romans, the 10th chapter and verse 11. You have to repent of your sins. That means that you have to look at the life that you've been leading, and you have to repent means to turn around. And so you have to look at the life that you've been leading, and you have to turn your back on it. You have to turn away from your former life. Acts 3:19 speaks about that. You have to confess that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. 1 John 4:15 talks about that. And you have to be immersed in water, otherwise known in the Bible as being baptized. You have to be immersed in water for the remission of your sins. You can look at Acts, the second chapter, and verse 38 to find out about that. All of these things have to do, all of these things are in response to the question, what must I do to be saved? Hear the word, believe that word, repent of your sins, confess that Jesus is the Son of God, and be immersed in water for the remission of your sins. That's important. You have to do that. If you haven't done that, the Bible states very clearly that you're not a Christian. People have to follow the Bible in order to receive the promises that are shown in the Bible. We see God in the Bible. He tells us who He is, and then He tells us what He wants us to do. And these are the things that He's told us that He wants us to do. That's important. And so, there are things that you can do, and there are things that all of us have to do in order to be saved. If you haven't followed these admonitions that are given here on this particular slide, and what must I do to be saved, then you need to do that in order to become a Christian. And you need to do that rapidly, because we have no assurance that tomorrow will even come, and we certainly have no assurance that our lives will continue should tomorrow even come. If you have done this and you have fallen away from what you ought to be doing, then we hope that we can help you by praying for you and doing whatever we can on your behalf. If we can help you in any way to either become a Christian or to improve your life, as it were, of a Christian, we ask that you'll come and let that be known while we stand and sing for your admonition.
I hear thy welcome voice that calls me, Lord, to thee, for cleansing in thy precious blood that flowed on Calvary. I am coming, Lord, coming unto thee. Wash me, cleanse me in the blood that flowed on Calvary. Though coming weak and vile, thou dost my strength assure. Thou dost my vileness fully cleanse, till spotless, all and pure. I am coming, Lord, coming now to thee. Wash me, cleanse me in the blood Calvary. 'Tis Jesus calls me on to perfect faith and love, to perfect hope and peace and trust for earth and heaven above. Lord, coming now to thee. Wash me, cleanse me in the blood that flowed on Calvary.
Could I see the hands of those who would like to partake of the Lord's Supper? Okay. Shall we pray? Dear Lord, we thank you for this bread.